views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm speaking to you today from KKNW AM 1150 here at Hubbard Radio in Seattle. You might be listening on the East Coast in Connecticut, Rhode Island, or New York on WBLQ AM 1230. Somewhere in one of the 35 stations in Australia, or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. Or perhaps, if you're not listening live, you're listening through the archives on iTunes or on ChristineUpchurch.com. But I tell you, wherever you're listening from today, whenever you're listening, you're going to be grateful you joined us, because we're going to be having a conversation about something that is talked about often in the consciousness community, but it's never talked about this way. And you will leave at the end of the show with a different perception about it. But before we get into what that is, I want to say hello to my better half here in the studio, who allows you to hear these wonderful conversations, does his magic over there behind 50 screens and a bunch of keyboards, Mr. Benny Mathers. Good morning, Benny.
Well, 50 screens have been narrowed down to about 7 and some change, but we're not going to count specifically. But I'm looking forward to the show. I don't want to... Enough about me. I mean, let's just move on from me. Let's go to our guests. But I'm a week into my 40s, and I'm doing well.
That's great. And
I know, right?
The 40s are fabulous.
Our guest gave me 2 thumbs up, so I made it.
40s are fabulous, really.
They are.
Yeah.
Loving it.
And for a variety of reasons.
Yay.
Well, you know, today we are going to be talking about ego and enlightenment in a way that you've probably never heard before. And our guest today is somebody who's been on the show before, one of my favorites, Kate Montana. She is the co-author of The Heart of the Matter with Dr. Darren Weissman. She is the author of Unearthing Venus, My Search for the Woman Within, which is one of my favorite books. She's got her master's degree in psychology. She writes and teaches about the ego, transpersonal and transcendent consciousness, quantum physics, and evolution. Just a few lighthearted, light topics there. Her new book is called The E Word: Ego, Enlightenment, and Other Essentials. And in addition to this book, she also is a regular contributor to Psychology Today, What Doctors Don't Tell You, and she has blogs for Huffington Post. And she's here today in the studio, which is a rarity because, you know, people are all over the world when we talk to them, but she is local enough that she made the ride in here, Kate Montana. Hi, Kate.
It is so good to be
Cue the applause.
You deserve it.
Thank
Sharp
you.
Cookie over
Thanks,
there.
Benny. It is so good to be back.
Oh, and you know, I just love, first of all, I love your insights. I love your teachings. And I love the way you write. It's like you have a way of taking heady topics and sort of shifting our perception of them, either a little bit or a lot, in a way that's grounded and lighthearted so that it makes it accessible for the reader. It's not like you have to go and study consciousness with, you know, with certain gurus
right.
for decades and decades. It's kind of like you can put it in a sentence or a paragraph. It's like, oh, okay, I get it now. And I'm so grateful that you're doing that.
Oh, I think that's what, 30 years on the spiritual path and 20,000 hours of meditation. Plus being a journalist, you know, you always
right.
have to be very succinct and you can't just be flowery and even overly erudite. So, yeah, I kind of learned to synthesize stuff. And I figure if I can understand it and I can write about it, anybody can.
Uh-huh.
Seriously.
So,
or unseriously.
I find it really fascinating that you decided to take on, and I use that word like both heavily and lightly, the ego.
Yeah.
In this book. What made you choose to sort of address this particular topic in this latest book?
Oh, boy. I didn't have a choice. I tried to avoid this book for and succeeded for 8 years. Uh-huh. I had after, as I say, 20,000 hours of meditation and a obsessive search for enlightenment. I was a real lean-in kind of gal on the spiritual path.
Uh-huh.
I hit the wall, and when I actually found unity consciousness, and right there I've already said something that's incorrect, because I didn't find unity consciousness. Unity consciousness is a state of mind, an awareness that has no sense of personal self in it whatsoever.
Oh.
So, you know, and so I have to laugh when people talk about, oh, well, I had an enlightenment experience, because I would say things like that as well, speaking of more expanded experiences in consciousness.
Uh-huh.
But when the ego actually fell away, it became blindingly obvious to me when I opened my eyes and Kate Montana was back in the room that there was no way that I could have an enlightenment experience, because enlightenment is the absolute total annihilation of any sort of personal self.
Wow.
Or personal perspective. There is no I around to have enlightenment. And it was one of the funniest, most excruciatingly painful moments of my life when I realized this, because what happened was, after all this inner work, I gave up, because I had, you know, I'm a journalist and I still don't know whether it's striven or strove. I strove. So I worked really hard.
There we go.
I worked so hard to become enlightened. And then, you know, when I finally just gave up, I gave up the breathing exercises. I gave up the mudras. I gave up the mantras. I just gave it up, because it was like I pushed as far as I could. But of course, I'd only pushed as far as I, Kate Montana, could go.
Right.
The only other step possible was for Kate Montana to exit stage left.
Uh-huh.
And that's what happened. And it took me by surprise, because I did. I gave up one morning at 4 a.m. and I flopped down on my medication. I love that. Yeah, I flopped down on my medication pillow.
I want some of those pills.
And I said a very strong word and said, you know, to hell with it. And wow. And then I closed my eyes and everything. When I came back, I was like, wow. So, yeah, the big joke was on me.
Right. And it seems to me that we, at this stage of our evolution, at least in Western culture, we have gone from, you know, many in the population have sort of rejected religion and searched for spirituality. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of striving. There's been a lot of reaching. There's been a lot of attachment to enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're saying is that's not the way to enlightenment.
There is no way to enlightenment.
Okay.
There really isn't. Because the more I strive and the more I struggle and the more disciplines and practices and the more teachers I, you know, go to and the more books I read, I'm just burdening myself with more opinions, more insights, more. But what the insight is into is really my identity, which is my sense of personal self, which is my ego. And then I take on the mantle of being a spiritual person. So I have a doppelganger ego. I have my regular sense of identity. And then I've become a spiritual person.
Uh-huh.
And that has its own suitcase full of rules and have-tos and shoulds and shouldn'ts.
Right.
And so all I've done is essentially burden myself even further, layer myself even more deeply, fall asleep even more deeply.
Uh-huh. And there's a lot more self-judgment then as well.
Oh, there's nothing like the spiritual ego for self-judgment. And I haven't been nice enough. I haven't been kind enough.
Uh-huh.
I haven't meditated enough.
Right.
I should be selfless. And we think selfish, you know, I shouldn't be selfish. And selfish has nothing to do with selflessness.
Uh-huh.
Selflessness is no self, no sense of personal identity whatsoever. And, you know, what's even funnier is that people, so many, most spiritual, quote-unquote, spiritual people I know, so hunger after that egoless state.
Mm-hmm.
But if they really understood that it is death, they wouldn't seek it.
Right.
It's really not what 99.9% of spiritual seekers are seeking for.
Right.
What we want is liberation. What we want is a joyful expansive, creative, colorful, adventurous, fulfilling, loving, connected life. Mm-hmm. That's what we want. And we think enlightenment is going to give us that. And that's not true because there's nobody around to enjoy those things. Is there liberation? Absolutely. Total liberation from the self. But it's not the kind of liberation we imagine it to be.
Mm-hmm. You know, recently I've been writing about and doing presentations about what I call the top 10 myths about spirituality. And number one is that we should seek spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's that feeling that it's something that we need to go after, mm-hmm. something to do, something to strive for, that actually impedes our natural experience of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, like so much in this world, the answer to that is yes and no. We really shouldn't seek, and yet if we don't, then we never get anywhere. We never shift. We never change.
But there's a difference between awareness and seeking, I
Absolutely.
Think.
But aware of what? And until I put my mind and my heart and my desire into attaining a larger view, it's not going to happen. Uh-huh. You know, in Advaita, they teach that you already are enlightened.
Right.
And I can vouch that that is absolutely true. But you can only know that when you're in an enlightened, non-egoic state.
Right.
It is an absolute, unavoidable truth that that is the condition of things. But you don't know it unless you're a Buddha.
Uh-huh. However, don't you think we make it more complicated than it needs to be? And so we actually, the mind gets in the way of actually the experience of it.
Absolutely. The mind gets in the way of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wonderful. You know, so you asked me several minutes ago, you know, about the ego. And I, like so many, wanted to do myself in that respect. I mm-hmm. wanted to become egoless.
Right.
And what I finally learned, and this has been such a relief, Christine, is that the ego is inevitable
mm-hmm.
living in a physical body
uh-huh.
here on Earth.
Uh-huh.
It is a mental construct that develops inevitably the moment we pop out of the womb
right.
and start on this journey called life and live in a physical expression, because what creates the ego is really two immediate unconscious programs. The first thing, when we pop into this world,
uh-huh.
we are confronted with extraordinary sensory overload.
Yes.
We receive 11 million bits of sensory data into our brains every second.
Oh, my goodness.
Of our lives. Yeah, that's a lot of data.
That is.
And so it's cold, it's hot, it's wet, it's dry, I cry, you know, it's rough. And there's all this barrage of sensory data. Unconsciously, from day moment one, that is programming me.
Mm-hmm.
To the unconscious realization, understanding that I am physical. The other inevitable program that arrives simultaneously with birth is the message of separation.
Uh-huh.
Immediate. It's totally unconscious. I'm not a little baby going, oh, the breast is over there. How do I reach to it? No, it's totally unconscious, but I cry for the breast, for the bottle, for uh-huh. my teddy bear, for food, a poopy diaper, whatever.
Right.
There is this unrelenting message that I am separate.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally unconscious.
Right.
And then the third thing that happens somewhere around 12 months of age is that we, you know, mommy and daddy say, oh, Christine, 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 you know, and our little baby brains absorb this meaningless sound over uh-huh. and over and over. And there's this unconscious sense of an awareness of isolated individual self.
Right.
And then one moment somewhere in there, about 12 months of age, the baby brain goes click. Oh, huh, Christine, me, Christine.
Uh-huh.
And it's totally, again, it's an unconscious association.
Yeah.
But that is the very beginning of ego. That's
yeah.
the very beginning of personal identity
and
the sense of self.
We should talk more about that,
mm-hmm.
but we have to go to a quick break.
Sure.
More with Kate Montana here in just a few moments.
Yeah, I'm in love with the moment. Are you sick of feeling overworked with no motivation? Take a break from the daily grind. Life coach Nicole Eisler is here to provide a healing journey of optimism. Passionate and caring, Nicole is no ordinary soul. Her dedication to helping everyone has no limit. Witness the power of positivity. Tune in every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific for Positivity Party Radio with Nicole Eisler on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit BigDreamAwakening.com.
What is a brilliant culture? And how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you design a culture that is authentic, innovative, and successful. Learn how to create change with Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence, and Claudette Rowley. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit ClaudetteRowley.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. That bit of music from, who is it from, Benny?
Soul. He's an artist, I believe, from the Seattle area, S-O-L.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. Okay. I was going to ask you, like, who is that? I need that.
Yeah. It's actually fairly graphic in nature for his other parts of the lyrics of the song, so I was quick to get it out of there.
Good for you.
I can provide that after the show, though, if you wish.
You're always a master at finding songs with lyrics that pertain to whatever the subject matter
That's
is.
That's great.
I tend not to stroke my own, but, you know, thank you.
You know, before the break, Kate, you were talking about sort of the three steps of the development of the ego. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about how around age 1 year, mm-hmm. we start to understand that when our parents and others are saying our name, mm-hmm. that's who we are.
Right.
So how does that develop further and how do we unravel that?
So that when the brain, and it's not me that makes the connection, the brain actually makes an association. There's a click.
Uh-huh.
And so then there's this beginning of a neurological network of personal identity. And after we associate the name, and then there's pronouns, you know, every parent in the world, you know, plays with their kids, like points to themselves, me, mommy, uh-huh. you, Katie, right. or yeah. whatever. Yeah. And it's a language teaching game every parent does. And it's great. You should. The ego is not a bad thing. Uh-huh. It's gotten a pretty bad rap lately.
It has, absolutely.
And but the thing of it is, it's inevitable, and it's a tool, just like a hammer is a tool. Mm-hmm. It helps us build in this world. It helps us function in this world. Without the ego structure, without a limited, boundaried sense of self, I wouldn't be able to differentiate myself from the bus coming down the road at me at 45 miles an hour. Right. Yes, we're all one in the quantum sea of isness. That's great. But unless I've got some sort of mechanism in place to differentiate and interact at the, in this energy field of information called planet Earth, then I can't. And there's been some studies, not a whole lot, but it's my personal belief that autism is one of those conditions that arises because the brain sensory gating mechanism that filters out, get this, Christine, that 11 million bits of sensory data a second that our brain, that our senses give our brain. Guess how many bits of data it takes for us to sit here and have this conversation for Benny to run the soundboard?
I don't know. How many?
50.
Oh, so we've got a whole bunch of information we don't need.
We have a whole bunch of information on the cutting room floor. And who knows what all of that data is? Is it that, you know, that interconnected quantum knowingness that, yes, you and I really are one? Is it the psychic realm? Is it the astral realm? Is it the realm of angels and messengers? Yeah, probably. Along with a lot of other stuff that we just don't see and don't need.
Right. The geometry of the things in the studio.
Yeah.
And the different aspects of light and color.
So I really feel that, because I actually had an experience of sensory overload. I had the gating system, actually, because I asked for the experience, and it happened to me when I was working with a shaman in Ecuador. My gating system came down, and I was given, I have no idea how long it happened, but the full-on onslaught of sensory data. And it was, now I understand why autistic children, you know, headbang. It's like, give me at least one crystallized point of perspective that I can focus on and not just be in this flood of information and data.
Right.
So the ego is incredibly necessary. Where we run into trouble is when we don't know what the ego is, and we completely lose ourselves in that sense of personal identity. Because after the name hooks up with that sense of individuality, then we learn about our gender and we learn about our ethnicity and we go to school and we learn to read and we learn all the rules. And all of those things just add up to that neurological network pattern in our brains that we end up identifying as Kate and Christine and Benny.
Right. And you talk a lot in your book about how it's our story that we identify with as opposed to the being, you know, the part of us that has been experiencing it.
Absolutely.
So how do we detach from that story enough in order to experience that sense of oneness, that sense of connection, that sense of lack of identity?
Right. Well, first of all, I'm a profound believer that at a certain point you have to hit a wall in life where the identity and living in this world and making money and having material things and identifying yourself through just simply the physical no longer works for you, and you start looking for those spiritual answers. And I want something more. Who am I?
Yeah.
The moment we start asking that question is a profound pivot point. And I say this in my book, and it's kind of controversial, is that a lot of people, when they leave religion and they find spirituality, I did this, it's like this, oh, my God, now I know the truth. Now I have, you know, if you'd asked me 15 years ago, I could, you know, Kate, tell me about, you know, reincarnation and life after death and angels and creation. I could have told you, I could have nailed it all. I could have, well, this is how it is, Christine, because I knew everything.
You would have got an A, right?
Yeah, and I had all the right answers, but all I had was more learning. All I had was more data. All I had was more hookups in my brain spitting out information that sounded good and that I ended up having an identity expanded into. I started identifying with my spiritual story. Now, instead of, you know, liking to drink vodka and go party, I would, you know, go home and meditate. So I changed my story, but it was still a story about who I thought I was. Now I was a spiritual person on the path to enlightenment.
So it was a story about your identity.
It was a story about all of my past and every thought and every experience all my dreams wrapped up in the package that labels it Kate Montana.
Uh-huh.
And what I, and this was really pretty amazing, because when I hit the wall, when the ego dropped for me, and it does it over and over again. Now, I almost said I have had experiences, and that's not true. I haven't had the experience of the ego dropping. The ego's just gone, and then there's all of life, and you're hooked up and aware that I am.
Uh-huh, right.
That's the only place that we can go that has no story. The moment I say, I am, all that spaciousness mm-hmm. opens up.
And typically we say, I am...
Kate Montana.
A mother. I am our name. I am, you know, a writer.
Yes. I am a radio show host.
Right.
Exactly. And the moment we fill in those blanks, that's our story.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can just go, instead of, I'm Kate, I'm a writer, I'm a woman, I'm 50 size, yada, da, 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 I am.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So there's that spaciousness. So the way that I personally came to understand, because I was left with this conundrum of the egoless state in meditation,
mm-hmm.
where it was very clear that Kate Montana really didn't even exist. It was just a thought form. Kate's just an idea.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing real about her, except in her own head, her own story. She's as real as she makes it. And then when I would get off my medication pillow every morning, you know, a nanosecond later, there Kate was going about Kate's day, doing Kate's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I battled this, Christine, because I couldn't understand how I could possibly be able to tap, how I could lose myself and be all I am. And then Kate is there.
Uh-huh.
And so being an all or nothing in this world, we're very left brain, right, good, bad, spiritual, physical.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted, it was either I was going to have an ego or I was going to be enlightened.
Right.
One or the other.
Right.
And so I obsessed about that. And that's why I couldn't write this book for 7 years, because I was totally confounded about how to reconcile those two completely antithetical states of consciousness. And then when I finally... And then when I finally understood, I took my master's degree in psychology and to heart and went, oh, my God, there is a transitional state of consciousness that we'll talk about shortly
uh-huh.
in between the personal limited sense of ego self and the egoless transcendent state. And that's called the transpersonal consciousness.
Yeah. And that's a fascinating concept. And I think it's something that on some level we all, those of us who are so-called seekers, really want to experience.
Absolutely.
We'll be back in a few moments with Kate Montana.
I am what I am. I am my own special creation. So come take a look. Give me the hook or the ovation. It's my world that I want to have a little pride in.
Be unstoppable. Who do executive women count on for up-to-date information on everything from stilettos to being heard in the boardroom? To achieve excellence, you must first take control of your life and develop a successful strategy with the Unstoppable Diva. Tune in to Up or Out with Connie Fife, Mondays 5 p.m. Eastern, as she cuts through the BS to guide you to become bold, connected, and unstoppable. For more information, visit uporout.com.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit the fearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Registration is now open for the 25th Annual Woman of Wisdom Conference. Join the fabulous presenters from around the country on February 16th through the 20th. If you believe in raising the feminine spirit and transforming our world, then this conference is for you. Get your tickets now. 1 day and full weekend passes are available. For more information about presenters and tickets, visit womanofwisdom.org. That's womanofwisdom.org.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day, I realized I was consuming foods based on fear. Fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Life's not worth a damn till you can say I am what I am.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. Thank you, Benny, for picking the perfect music every single time.
Amazing.
We are back with Kate Montana, and her latest book is a wonderful book. It's called The E Word, Ego, Enlightenment, and Other Essentials. Oh, gosh. You know, you've talked a lot about how twisted our perception is because it's ego-based. And you've talked about how you've kind of gone to this place where Kate doesn't exist, ego doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. And we've got this dichotomy. First of all, how do we actually get to this place where we can sort of transcend it or experience ourselves or experience beyond ourselves? And then how do we integrate that into our lives?
Well, I think the best bet is to give up expecting or trying. That's the best bet, is to just let go trying to become enlightened or beyond yourself, because I will never be enlightened as Kate Montana. Uh-huh. I can't drop myself.
Right.
It's an impossibility. And so that's the first step, was giving up. And also knowing that the ego is fine. It's wonderful. It's perfect. It's the vehicle to be able to experience joy. Everything we've ever wanted to experience is in that.
I think that that's something you need to repeat or reword, because I think there's some ears out there listening that probably need to hear this.
Well, the ego is what allows us to function on this planet. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. It is a tool. Uh-huh. And when we understand that it's a tool, nothing more, nothing less, and then we work with the tool, instead of trying to be enlightened, mm-hmm. the tool can never be enlightened. Okay. So let's just forget about that.
Right.
That happens when it happens and how it happens. Uh-huh. We have no control over that. So the trick is, and this is what just blew my mind when I realized that a middle road actually exists between the egoic personal self, uh-huh. highly limited, and the transcendent egoless sense of that place of I am.
Uh-huh.
And it's called transpersonal awareness. And what that is, it's a gradual thinning of the veil, if you will. It's an expansion of the ego, not an inflation of the ego. Oh, I'm a spiritual person, and I've had enlightenment experiences, and I've read all these books, and I do all these, you know, it's not that. It's an expansion of and into the awareness that we are all one. Uh-huh. Most of us who are listening to this show already understand we are one. We mm-hmm. are brothers and sisters you know, at the quantum level of source information, mm-hmm. I am. And the trick is to begin to train the personal self and our minds to be able to act from that place. So of recognizing that we are one, not just talking about it, but beginning to see the world that way. So one of the methods I've used is, I call it the high me exercise. When I'm out walking in nature, taking a break from my work, I'll see a rhododendron bush, and it's beautiful, it's in flower, and I'll go, oh God, isn't that rhododendron bush beautiful? That's the statement of the separate ego.
Right.
That bush over there is beautiful. After I recognize that, I embrace the bush, not necessarily physically, but in my, but I look at the bush and I go, ah, hi me. Ah, I am one with that. And then what, you can take it a step further. There's a martial arts exercise called soft eyes, where instead of like looking like I'm looking at you right now, instead of looking at you fixedly or looking at the bush fixedly, which concretizes and outlines the borders.
Right.
A soft eyes is you just kind of like you look in the direction of something, but you just let the world in. And it's a martial arts technique so that people don't get fixed on their opponent and then get blindsided by another opponent coming up behind them.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know. I mean, I've learned that within the context of doing aura readings, but never in terms of martial arts.
Yeah. It enables you to tap into the energy field, the energy information field around you.
Right.
So then as I, you know, as I'm not staring at the rhododendron bush, it's like, ah, I acknowledge it is me. I go into soft eyes and I just allow the energy, the confines of myself to blur and the confines of the what makes the rhododendron blur. And I just acknowledge my oneness, and then I go on, and I'll do that with an eagle flying overhead or a squirrel or whatever. I do it when I meet people. You know, it could look pretty weird if I actually kind of went into a trance and did that when I met somebody, but I'm usually too busy.
You get a reputation.
Yeah, I would. Usually I'm too busy trying to remember somebody's name. But after they walk away, I always acknowledge, you know, by me. That's me in another person's shoes. That's me having a totally different experience on this, in this world.
Interesting.
And I, again, I as much as possible, I go into that soft-eyed receptive place. If I'm waiting in the grocery store line, I do it in the grocery store line.
Yeah.
And letting myself energetically acknowledge, I let myself mentally acknowledge the energetic blurring and open up that space.
And for me, I sort of feel into it. I've got sort of like a sense of where somebody's coming from emotionally. It's like I can feel their emotions. I can sometimes sort of just pick up on the physical state that they're in. And it's almost like I'm stepping into their story.
Absolutely. All of our stories are completely intertwined. That's why, you know, if you've ever read Michael Talbot's The Holographic Universe, it's like, you know, look at my little fingernail and the entire multiverse, the cosmos, is embedded in one cell of my little pinky fingernail. All the information is embedded and encoded right here, right now.
Right.
It's all accessible, apparently. I can't get hung up on that either. But it's really exciting to me to have found this this middle path of moving into an expansion of the ego rather than trying to kill the ego, which you can't do, or enlighten the ego, which you also can't do. I mean, dear God, bless spiritual people's hearts. And I, you know, I include myself in that pack. It's like I've just been beating my head against the wall for decades, getting nowhere and not knowing why.
And there's so much self-judgment and judgment of others because, you know, they have not attained it or have not attained a certain level of it. And it's
absolutely.
And it creates this frustration and stagnation.
Oh, God. And don't even get me started on personal manifestation. Uh-huh. Look at that personal manifestation. Uh-huh. I, Kate Montana, create my own reality. I, my thoughts impact the quantum field. Well, uh-huh. Yeah, they do. And my heart messages and engages the quantum field. Yes, it does. But I am doomed if I think I am the one manifesting. Mm-hmm. It is, I am. It is source intelligence. It is the sea of quantum energy. So the moment I let down that ego, I am going to manifest. What a load of effort and baggage. That's really hard.
Yeah, especially when you don't achieve it.
Oh, God, and then when you don't achieve it, well, I'm bad and wrong, and what's wrong with me, and everybody else is manifesting, and yada, yada, and that's just what we do. So to be able to go to that place where, I relax, go into soft eyes, I let the world enter me, mm-hmm. I let consciousness enter in, and I give it up. I give it to, yes, my job is to be clear on what I want. The ego's great. Being a human being is great. There's nothing wrong with it. Uh-huh. But let's understand who's really running the show. It's source intelligence. I am.
Right.
So my job is to be clear. I want to go this direction and then let it go.
Uh-huh.
Open up.
So
give credit where it's due.
can the ego coexist with surrender?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's, again, that's part of the ego's, ego has a bad rap.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing wrong with the ego. We just have it locked in a really tight box. So when we start to expand and acknowledge that we are one with life and begin to act from that information, uh-huh. and we practice these things like soft eyes and high me, and there are a whole bunch of other practices in my book. When we start to make this a definite goal to expand into this transpersonal mindset, this mm-hmm. bridge consciousness, then that's when things really start to shift, because we've got the right emphasis on the right syllable. Instead of it being on me, it's on I am, and I know that I'm okay as me, but how big can me get?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's what is so desperately wrong with our society, and why I know I was pressed to write this book at this point in time is, for example, we've got the most quintessential example of an isolated personal standalone unit ego in Donald Trump.
Yes.
And he has no clue that there is anything more. He has no concept of that. So he's doing the best he can. And all the people who are in that like mind are locked in the box of I am physical, I am separate.
Mm-hmm.
And all that drives is fear and vulnerability and then walls and wars and everything else that comes with it.
Right.
Bernie Sanders, on the other hand, is this delicious example of a truly transpersonal ego.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
inclusive.
Yes.
He's, you know, he takes care of himself, but his all heart, and he's about other people and reaching out right. and embracing and being inclusive.
Yes, and, so, and everybody else's pain is his own.
And everybody else's pain is his own.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's true. So that's the example of two different types of ego.
Yeah. And when we go back, when we come back, I want to get your perspective about where we're at as a society and a world and why we've chosen the way we've chosen in terms of our evolution.
Okay.
More here with Kate Montana in just a few moments.
This is Peggy Snow, practitioner at Stellar Reflections, with a Stellar Reflections Minute. So many people these days are trying to find ways to relieve their stress. What happens to our breathing when we're feeling overwhelmed and stress? When we tune in, we realize that we're either holding our breath or taking very shallow breath to signal the body that all is well, which most of the time it is. Sometimes all that is needed is a nice, deep breath to break the cycle. First, exhale to get all the stale air out by engaging the abdominal muscles and blowing gently. Next, take a nice, full breath in, feeling it fill your body all the way down to your hips. Release fully and enjoy the freedom of movement. Notice how your body feels. Do you feel refreshed? Calmness is only a breath away. This has been a Stellar Reflections Minute. For more information about what we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life? Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parent, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere, with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit glennarice.com.
Tune in to Dynamics of Diversity Radio, scripting the new narrative for immigration with leading experts Kripa Upadhyay and Steve Tanija on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will remove the noise that often accompanies discussions on this topic and share a new perspective on the dynamics of immigration and diversity, ever reminding us that together we are all at the core of innovation, excellence, and positive change. Visit OrbitLawPLLC.com for upcoming topics.
Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit StellarReflections.com. That's StellarReflections.com.
I think the universe is on my side. Heaven and earth have finally aligned. Days are good, and that's the way it should be.
Welcome back to the Christine Epchurch Show here on Transformation Talk Radio. You know, I want to make sure we give people the opportunity to connect with you, Kate, after the end of the show. Can you please share with our listeners how they can connect with you?
Absolutely. I'm on Facebook, and my website is www.katemontana.com. It's Kate with a C, but even if you spell it with a K, it'll still get to me.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Yeah. And again, the book is entitled The E Word, and Unearthing Venus is another wonderful book as well. Okay, so here we are at the stage where we clearly have somebody who's been elected here in the United States to the top position in our political system.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very much into separation,
mm-hmm.
And most would say very into ego.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we here, and what's going on the bigger picture?
I think Donald Trump is one of the biggest gifts we've ever been given, and one of the most traumatic ones we've ever been given. But because we finally are going to have to, I mean, the ego is up for discussion now because we have such a blatant walking, talking example of it.
Right.
And he doesn't even know he's an ego. He probably, you know, if somebody calls him a big ego, he probably looks at him like and scratches his head and go, I don't get it.
Uh-huh.
He
yeah.
has no idea. That's the I am identified with the tool
uh-huh.
situation.
Right.
I have no comprehension that there's something more. So a solid majority still of humanity is at a level of consciousness. If remember at the very beginning, and I talked about the ground foundation of the ego is born in physicality,
right.
and the sense of separation that physicality gives us.
Right.
That's the ground level of the ego. Then as we go through life, we have other needs, ego needs. We need to feel protected. We need to feel safe and secure, good
sure.
housing, a job,
right.
money. Then we have being needs. Where we want to belong to a family,
oh,
have
absolutely.
A loved
the
one,
tribal
children,
needs,
the tribal,
yes.
the community. After our being needs are satisfied, then something comes along called self-esteem needs,
uh-huh.
where to feel good about our illusionary ego selves, we have to have a lot of stuff.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. We have to have money and power and prestige and mm-hmm. three cars and all of that stuff.
Right.
Well, hello, welcome to mainstream America and Western civilization.
Yeah.
The majority of Western civilization is at this fourth level of ego evolution.
Right.
Donald Trump is at the pinnacle of it. He's the perfect example of a fourth level ego.
So what you're saying is, on some level, we're having to look at ourselves.
Totally.
With him in charge.
Totally.
And yet there's so many people out there, and many of them are on their conscious paths, who are saying, he's so different
mm-hmm.
from me.
He is. He is so different from an ego perspective. It's the same thing as looking, a college student will look at a fourth grader
uh-huh.
and go, he's so different from me. Well, uh-huh. yeah, he's uh-huh. a kid.
Yeah.
And you can't fault a kid for being a kid.
Right.
You can't fault evolution for those who are at different places in evolution. We're uh-huh. all in a different spectrum on that path. But that's the point of pain, is when we finally hit the wall, because after that is self-actualization. That's when we transcend the need for personal approval from anybody.
Uh-huh.
We actually the ego begins to open up and expand and transcend. It's all about creation. Who am I really? What do I want to create? What uh-huh. can I give? What are my gifts?
Right.
Then the ego obsession, if you will, is to be to be really authentically me.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Then the next step after that is the transpersonal, where all of a sudden, well, you know, I've done it all. Wow, look at that. And I've expressed myself and I still feel disconnected. And why mm-hmm. is that? Then we start addressing the who am I question from a more transpersonal perspective. And we start to look to others and brothers and sisters and have that. You know, if you ask Bernie Sanders, hi, did you know you're a transpersonal ego? And he'd go, probably not.
Uh-huh,
He just has he's grown up to the point where he's recognized it. And so many millions of people in the spiritual arena, uh-huh. what's called the cultural creative demographic, is there's like 80 million in Europe and something like 60 million in the United States. So people who are moving into this integrated transpersonal awareness of self and the importance of taking care of the environment, other
right.
people
right.
as part of self.
Yes.
So it's this beautiful ongoing evolution.
Uh-huh.
And which is so exciting. And what I'm so excited about where we're at right now is that we're having this conversation right now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, 10 years ago, I was a lost spiritual person thinking I had all of the answers,
right.
trying to transcend myself.
Uh-huh.
It's like, no. I need to expand into this recognition that I am one with others
uh-huh.
and act accordingly, and then allow this evolutionary process to unfold through me.
Mm-hmm.
And take me where it takes me. That's what life is all about.
One of the things I've found is, on an individual level, within my own life, as I've let go of aspects of how I've defined myself, as I've kind of had these experiences of stepping out of myself, at least mm-hmm. just briefly,
mm-hmm.
suddenly I'm finding it a little disconcerting at times, because I seem to be losing my identity.
Oh.
And in a sense, I know. And losing in some ways my attachment to mission.
Mm-hmm.
Although I've always felt like I'm here for purpose, it's kind of like I don't have the same kind of attachment to mm-hmm. it. How do we navigate as we get to this place of sort of, you know, through the process of integration and move forward in a way where we are sharing our gifts?
You know, I think it all boils down to heart. That's our biggest talisman and leader. If we follow what prompts from our heart space, that's the doorway that I am speaks through best.
Right.
It's not that I am doesn't speak through the mind. It does, or we wouldn't have all the six different levels of yoga, bhakti yoga and uh-huh. shakti and jnana yoga and all these other methodologies. It suits different individual egos,
right,
and how they process information and
uh-huh.
how they express in this world. So to relax into who we really are, it sounds so pat and it sounds so cliche, but it's and the less I identify, and the like this, oh my God, I used to have so many problems public speaking. I identified with being somebody who would freeze up, you know, if I had to speak in front of people. Well, that was my story. So I've let go that story, and I've let go other stories. I had to let go the story of being successful. I had to let go my story of this, that, and the other thing.
Right.
And what comes is this sense of grace and this sense of relaxation. The less I have to carry on, oh my God, I don't have to manifest, I don't have to do this, I don't have to do anything, I just can be me, and I am enough.
Right.
Little old ego me is enough. It's all okay.
Right. And it creates a different kind of freedom.
Totally. We can be liberated as, we can experience liberation as personal selves, but expansive personal selves that know that we're not the whole guacamole.
Yeah. And on that Mexican food note,
let's go eat.
Kate, it's been fabulous having you here. I'm so excited about your new book. I hope that this gets out far and wide. It's called The E Word, Ego, Enlightenment, and Other Essentials. Thanks so much for joining me here today.
Thank you, Christine.
Yeah, and katemontana.com, spelled with a C. Thank you for joining us here, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com.